This is episode 409, dated Monday, September 22nd, 2025.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hi, everyone. Welcome once again to Sports Roundtable. My name is Bob Branco. Good to be with all of you this fine day. Before we continue, let me introduce the panel members that we have thus far. Actually, let me just say first off that this is episode 409, dated Monday, September 22nd, 2025. For our panel so far, we have Mitch Pomerantz.
Good afternoon, good evening from downtown Pasadena, California. 85 degrees and clear. We're getting a little of that monsoonal moisture. Supposed to be showers down in San Diego heading this way. We'll just have to see. But it's nice this time of year, Michael, that you folks share some of your normal Texas weather with us here in Southern California.
We have the feel of fall here in southern New England, 70 to 75, partly sunny, and I think it's going to last a little while longer. Don Wardlow.
Yeah, Bob, it's about the same as that here in New Jersey, in the 70s, which is nice. We like it.
Reverend Michael Garrett.
And welcome from Missouri City, Texas, where it's about 91 degrees, partly cloudy. We had a little brief shower this morning. I think it only rained at our house because we talked to other people and they didn't have any rain. But we're beginning to have a little fall. It's breezy. It's very nice. So we'll catch up with you, Mitch.
Peter Altschul and Luther King are not with us at the moment, but I'm sure that when they do arrive, they will let us know. I want to thank those people who make it possible for Sports Roundtable to be made available. We start out with Raymond Gay, who is our editor and producer. Thank you for what you do. I also want to extend the same thanks to our media sources for airing us. Thank you so much. And, of course, Jacqueline Sylvia of JS Web Solutions, because she archives Sports Roundtable episodes on my website. Just go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down until you get to Sports Roundtable Podcasts. Click on them, and you will see most of our archived programs from latest to earliest. And as Peter would say, merci, Jackie. I want to say hi to Trish, who is our facilitator for today's program, along with Brad, who is our streamer. And because we are being streamed live, let me give out the email address for those people who would like to write us, because we do depend on listeners. Now, our listeners, we'd like to hear from you at BobBranco93, that's BobBranco93, at gmail.com, BobBranco93 at gmail.com. BobBranco93 is all one word. And thank you, Trish, and thank you, Brad, for helping us out today, as always. There's a lot to talk about in the world of sports, that's for sure, but I did want to give the floor for a few minutes to the Reverend Michael, because he hinted that he has a statement he wants to make. So go ahead, Michael.
Thanks, Bob. We want to talk a little bit about baseball. We were talking about that before we went on air. And we've been talking about injuries, baseball injuries, and Mitch has talked about the Dodgers pitchers and so many injuries related to the Dodgers. But there was I read an article in our local paper, and a guy did some statistical work and comparison, and he came up with the fact, I won't say fact, but his assertion is that the Astros is the most injured team this year when you count pitchers. And I've mentioned that we've had a lot of pitchers out, and position players. And even right now, Pena, our shortstop, has an oblique injury. And so we've had to fill in all of these players. Alvarez has been out for most of the year. Paredes was out. So our three top hitters have been out for
Valdez is out. Robert Valdez.
Yeah. Valdez. Yeah. So what's your reaction to that, Mitch? Especially we're talking about both teams who have sustained enormous injuries, but are still in the playoff hunt.
Well, I think it reflects the fact that the general managers presidents
slash nerds
are pretty sharp judges of talent. The Dodgers have used, not including the two position players, Hernandez and Rojas, 36 pitchers this season. Now, I just heard, and I don't know that it was the Mets or the Astros, but I had heard that one of the teams had used 48 pitchers this season. And
48?
Yeah. Probably was
that's
the Mets.
That's insanity.
It absolutely is. I should have sent it to you, Michael. I sent it to Bob. There was a snippet in Lee Hacksaw Hamilton's daily bulletin talking about something that he found. It talked about and it sounded like a baseball combine, a baseball gathering for, didn't say the ages, but they sounded like high school pitchers or pitchers right out of high school. And it said that something like 80% of them had elbow issues and 70% had shoulder issues. They call them abnormalities. We're talking, kids 17, 18, 19 years old. And, that should be a red flag and a half to not just Major League Baseball, but all amateur baseball and anybody who cares about preparing these young athletes for a professional career. I mean, 80% with shoulder and/or elbow issues already.
Oh, they're told to throw too fast.
That goes along with what the trainer. We had the trainer on. That just goes along with what he told us.
Gentlemen, I'm not sure which one of you said it, but you were right on the money. It was the Mets and the.
It was the Mets. Okay, 48 pitchers.
Well,
this year?
The exact was 46, but that was five. But that was 5 days ago. In those 5 days, they could have added two more. I don't know.
Could have been, yeah.
But you were right on the banana when you said it was the Mets.
It's almost like, and they used to say this about football, but I think football is head and shoulders above any other sport in terms of the concern they're now showing for their players, although there are still those out there who don't think they're doing enough. But football, they're concerned about concussions. They go through the player, not just concussion, but other injuries. Players, in order to get back into a game, they have to be checked out in a medical tent. They may go back to the locker room to get checked out by a physician. And they're just obviously much more careful about players that become injured on the field. I mentioned before we went on the air at the USC Michigan State game Saturday evening, which is why the game took about 4 hours instead of three and a half. There was a 20 plus minute delay. One of the Michigan State defensive players was injured. Pete Arbogast didn't indicate. I don't think he really knew the nature of the injury. but the game was stopped. They strapped the, put the guy on a board. They put him on a cart, and they took him directly to the to one of the tunnels in the Coliseum, put him in an ambulance, and took him to the hospital.
Most athletes who really love what they do, even when they get hurt, they'll want to play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mental thing. It's a psychological thing.
Yep.
And I have some experience of that back in my heyday playing beat baseball, and you know, I was in the throes of a tournament, and we were nearing the winning spot, and I had hamstrings and quads pulled, but I wouldn't let the coach take me out. I'd let Doc Bradley massage it. I'd go right back in the game. So it's a psychological thing for athletes. Even and my pain was nowhere near some of the pain that some of the football players had. But you just want to play, you want to win.
And gentlemen, Mitch, you in particular may find this interesting. I certainly do. The Dodgers aren't even in the top five when it comes to number of pitchers used. I dug a little deeper into that article, and right behind the Mets, you've got the Bravos, you've got the Diamondbacks, and there's another team. They're all over 40 pitchers. The Angels, that's the other team. It's not the Dodgers. I'm astonished, frankly. I thought the Dodgers would have had to be.
Well, MLB should be just as astonished, and it's too bad they don't. I mean, it, to me, they're not doing
like
enough.
They care. They don't seem to care.
Analytics.
Well, there's rumblings that the owner of the Tampa Bay Rays is going to sell the Rays, and the theory is too much analytics and nerdity going on. And if they sell, I'm hearing there may be a domino effect, which may affect two or three other teams that are practicing nerdity as well, including the Red Sox and Blue Jays, by the way, which is music to my ears if they stop doing it, especially the Red Sox.
Thing about Tampa Bay, would they move, though? I've heard that if they got sold, they may move.
They need a new stadium anyway. They've been borrowing the Yankees spring training facility all season long. Mm-hmm. Because of what Hurricane Milton did to Tropicana.
Right.
Now, before that, we heard about Montreal, but I don't know about that. What do you guys think? No.
Well, I said this a few weeks ago to one of our listeners from Florida. I love to visit Florida. I love Key West. I couldn't live there in the summertime, but I love Key West. But neither Florida City deserves a baseball team. They don't. They do not support their teams. And as long as that's the case in Tampa and in Miami, neither team will ever have the financial wherewithal to compete with the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees, and Atlanta. And, you know, it's sad because if you get traded to one of those two teams, As much as you want to win, you know, you know, you don't want to play before a half empty house. And when was the last time either of those two teams drew 2 million? I don't think they've ever drawn 3 million, but when was the last time either team drew 2 million? Neither city, Florida does not deserve a Major League Baseball team.
You know, somebody made a major mistake back in the 90s and in the late 80s, actually, when they put the whole idea together. They thought that just because Florida did well in spring training, that it would go, you know, as a major league market. And to be honest, I was on the bandwagon of those who said it would be a good idea. I didn't know until I worked there in Florida, in the Florida State League. I didn't have any idea how the crowds melted away once spring had, you know, ended and summer was upon us. I had absolutely no idea. that I'd be broadcasting games before 148 people. And I'm not even Hollywooding that. 148 people we had at a Winter Haven Red Sox game against the Miracle. And the Red Sox won, by the way. So the 148 people were happier than we were up in the booth because we were on the losing side.
Well, it seems to me, though, that I guess you have to add in the fact that when your team holds their spring training down in Florida, a lot of people go and follow the team. So I know a lot of people from Houston, you know, would go to Florida in the springtime for part of their spring
training games.
Spring
crowds vacation. Are great.
Yeah.
They're wonderful.
Yeah.
But the wonks who had the idea thought it would last throughout the season, and it just doesn't. In Miami, believe me, there's too much else to do on a warm weather day in Miami than hang in and watch an awful ball team.
So when the Marlins won the whole thing in, was it 97, and was in the World Series in 03, they still didn't draw much of a crowd?
Now,
that's
that
a good question, and I don't know the answer. I don't know what they drew during their two pennant-winning seasons.
But what we know is that the next year, 98 and 04, the ownership held a fire sale and got rid of everybody that was any good, which is the opposite of what you should do to capitalize on a World Series championship team. Build around that. Build your fan base by keeping those guys. You know, the Mets, that they weren't all that terribly successful, but they at least, the Mets did what they should crowd-wise, you know, into the 70s, and then they won another pennant in 1973, you know, and those games were very well attended in New York, where they knew what they were doing. You know, in Miami, the Huizenga ownership after the 97 World Series, and whoever was owning them in 04, I don't know. But they both did the same thing. They got rid of every Marlin that was any good.
And I would
Wayne Huizenga. That's who I was trying to think of his name, Don. But his business operation, you know, I guess he used it as a business deal. After they won series, you know, there's a lot of money that comes in, a lot of benefits that come in from that, and. And he had that fire sale and capitalized on it to the good of his pocket.
My bet would be that he sold off those players because he lost money those 2 years. I bet you even with going to the series that he lost money.
Could be, but I thought it was the other way around. Did he benefit it or maybe broke even or something?
No, he obviously didn't make enough to make it worth his while to keep keep those good players on the Marlins.
So, gentlemen, the playoffs are coming pretty soon. And before the show, I was commenting about the craziness going on in the American League. The Tigers were a very dominant team through most of the season until about the middle of August. Now there's a slight chance that might be out of the playoffs. I mean, the Red Sox are worried about the Guardians catching them for the wild card, but don't look now, folks. I think the Guardians are a game behind first place Detroit.
They
and
are.
And they play each other.
And they would have been tied, except they blew it yesterday against the Twins. If they had won that game, they would be in a flat-footed tie and getting ready for a series in Cleveland against the Tigers. And the Tigers, by the way, the reason for a lot of their problems is a couple of injured pitchers, Jackson Jobe, and there's another one whose name escapes. Oh, but they have three starters they can count on, Casey Mize, Tarik Skubal, and Jack Flaherty. Those three, you know, beyond that, they've got a lot of problems when it comes down to starting, at least on a regular season basis. They have to survive this series against Cleveland, and then they have a weekend series ahead, who I don't know they're playing, But if they get swept 3 out of 3 by the Guardians, they'll be in bad trouble.
They play the Red Sox, Doc.
Okay, Bob. So the Tigers, they are looking at doing an even bigger collapse than the 1978 Red Sox. And I would have thought that was impossible. But the
2011 Red Sox, too, the chicken and beer year, that's up there.
But the Tigers had a 15.5 game lead in July of this year over their nearest foe. 15.5 games, and now the Guardians are within 1 game, and they are kicking themselves in Cleveland at the corner of Ontario and Mellon. You know, they are
Sounds like the Dodgers in 62, when I think our lead was 12 or 13 over the Giants, and that didn't work out real well for us. But
and, of course, the 51 Dodgers, same thing, 13.5 games, and it ended up with Bobby Thompson's shot heard around the world.
This year's Guardians team reminds me of the 07 Rockies, the team that caught back up into the playoffs and played the Red Sox in the World Series and was swept. But they came on strong at the end. They were not a playoff team in 07.
I don't think there's a favorite in the American League. I can imagine that if you went to the MGM Grand to the book, you would. I bet all those teams, including maybe one or two that won't make the playoffs, are 5-1, 6-1. I don't think there's a dominating team in the American League.
Right, I wouldn't say. You know, there's a prohibitive favorite, not this year. And although, you know, this is a surprise that I would even say it, but the Seattle Mariners have as good a shot as anybody else.
John, I was just thinking exactly the same thing. They seem to have good starting pitching. That series over the weekend with the Dodgers might see 3-1-0 games because our starting pitching actually has come around. Our bullpen stinks, but our starting pitching is coming around really well. But the Mariners, whichever team in the playoffs has the best starting pitching, is likely to go to the series.
And I think it's the team that's playing well. They're getting good timely hitting and good pitching. So right now, Seattle is on a tear. They're really playing well.
And the Blue Jays are hanging in there, too. They're sustaining that lead over everybody else. They have been sustaining it for a long time now.
And they're looking at their first division championship since 2015, which that's when Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista were their two big stars back then.
Correct.
That's when they were tearing down fences that year.
So turning to football, I wanted to get your take on the Chiefs, and I guess there was a little kerfuffle last night between Andy Reid and Travis Kelce. Not that that was the be-all and end-all of what went on yesterday, but I did hear about that a little while ago.
That was the most exciting part of that game. Michael, I'm still not sure which team is worse. I know Dallas beat the Giants, but I don't know. I assume you heard. I just read C.D. Lamb is going to be out for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah. High ankle sprain.
The egg they laid yesterday about with the Browns, Green Bay might come in and dismantle. I don't know, where is that game? Is it in Dallas or is it in Green Bay?
It's in Dallas. It's in Dallas.
Green Bay may totally dismantle that stadium Sunday. How they played in Cleveland.
Well, it's the Cowboys, okay? The Cowboys are not a good team. That's the bottom line. But I was listening to these guys that they do the NFL book. You know, they're sitting there talking about all the books and everything, the odds, and they made this statement about Jordan Love that. One guy says, well, Love is not Brett Favre or an Aaron Rodgers. So Green Bay fans have to realize that. They say, they said he's really a journeyman quarterback with some good pieces around him.
Rev, he
and
wasn't.
So I mean, that's just his comment. So what there's
Rev, he really wasn't supposed to be.
Hey, Luke.
Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers anyway.
Hey, Luke.
Hey, guys.
But as I was, my take on this whole thing is, and the other laugher is that, Cowboys are going to start Jadeveon Clowney in this game.
Oh, but dear. Anyway. hold on. Like that guy that can't seem to not, that guy that can't seem to not get hurt. They're going, you mean to tell me you're signing Jadeveon Clowney for what? A 1 year reclamation project with a bunch of ragamuffins on defense already?
Well, that could probably last about 3 weeks. It'll probably last about 3 weeks.
I'd give him 2 weeks tops.
But my point is, Cowboys are pretty bad.
Oh, they're awful.
They've got a few pieces.
And you just lost CeeDee Lamb.
I put Dak's situation is very similar to CJ Stroud here in Houston. He's running for his life.
And Mike, you just lost CeeDee Lamb too.
Yeah. Well, CD says he thinks he might be able to play, but I doubt it.
With a high ankle like that, I doubt it.
You know, you're talking about CJ Stroud, and I paid some attention to that to the Houston Jacksonville game because I have in my fantasy team I got Nico Collins and I have Travis Etienne, and for Houston to get one lousy touchdown, thankfully it was Nico Collins, to get one lousy touchdown in that game against Jacksonville, they should be embarrassed. That was horrific.
And Mitch, here's the problem. Nico Collins also had a catch and fumble. So let's not forget that, because they were driving and then he basically coughed the ball up.
Yeah, I was going to say, I believe they probably would have scored on that drive if he hadn't fumbled the ball.
That's my point.
And yeah, he was really upset about it too.
Here's my question though, guys. Did the Texans make a mistake in getting rid of Bobby Slowick and not giving him enough time to get the offense the way they wanted? Cause I know they did a revamp of the O-line. They signed Nick Chubb to try to fix their running game, and he really hasn't done much of anything. I don't even know where Joe Mixon is right now. I think he's hurt too, isn't he?
He's hurt.
No, he's been hurt. He's on the injured list, and they really don't know if he's going to get back this season. They think so, but they're not sure.
Well, unfortunately for the Texans, their season is slipping away quickly.
Yeah, the problem they have is that offensive line. And CJ, he publicly got on the offensive line last week.
He got on all of them after week one when they only managed 9 points against the Rams.
Yeah, but he's feeling it. Like I talked about psychological.
Yeah, mentally. Ago. Yeah.
He's feeling it because he doesn't have time to set his feet.
No,
a lot of the guys who were watching the game, that's what they talked about yesterday. I heard more than one guy say that. He doesn't even have time to set his feet.
So, there were a lot of throws wrong.
The way you address that issue is you keep your tight end in to be an extra blocker.
It's called Max Pro.
Max Pro. When you've got more than one guy getting a loose. You've got more than one guy.
I'm looking on the waiver wire.
Hey guys, how bad did the Falcons look yesterday? 30-0. Oh Lord.
Help me. Oh
guys, I am also in a survivor pool and I won yesterday because I had Seattle.
Thank God you did.
We had 92 entries. 92 entries yesterday. 31 of them got knocked out the first week. Now they can re-enter if they make two picks next week, but one third of our survivor pool got knocked out, and Atlanta was responsible for almost half of that.
Mercy.
That was bad.
And Carolina's not that good. You know?
And Carolina's awful. And by the way, I wonder how many in that survivor pool had the Patriots with all of their turnover issues against the Steelers yesterday.
Five.
Actually, nobody. Nobody had New England yesterday,
which is surprising.
Yeah, New England.
And I wonder
Green
how many.
Green Bay cost a lot of folks.
That was a killer.
Yeah.
I was really ticked off yesterday about that one. I was not happy. Green Bay had that game won until they didn't.
I'm like, 26-7. 26-7 lead.
You're talking about Rams Eagles.
You're talking
probably
about
the best game of the
Rams.
Day.
Oh, is that right? Oh, yes.
Yeah, Rams are up 19.
Cleveland
I wish
13-10.
I wish they would have put that Rams Eagles game in 325. I think that one should have been 325, in my opinion.
I cannot believe that Cleveland won that game.
Well,
neither can Cleveland.
Look, here's the thing. I was listening to that game, right? Cause I had that game on my phone, listening to the Packers feed, and Green Bay had it basically going their way until they didn't. And it was only what? Two turnovers, a bad interception and a bad fumble by Josh Jacobs.
Well, you're forgetting the blocked field goal.
Oh, yeah, that too. I didn't want to remember that one, but thanks for the reminder, because Green Bay could have won that. Here's the thing though. It should not have even gotten to that, because Green Bay had a myriad of opportunities way earlier in the game to bury Cleveland and they didn't do it. So Green Bay, basically, you have to pin that loss on them for being stupid. And all I'm going to say down here about my Titans right now, the quicker Callahan goes, the better. Cause I mean, I'm at the point now of just, we need a palate cleanser around here. Because right now, poor Cam Ward is getting the living snot beat out of him.
So Luther?
Yes.
Who do you think's gonna win the game Sunday?
Between the Texarkanas and Titans?
Yeah.
Before we open the floor to our beloved town to people that are waiting for us to get to them. Let me get this answer first. If the Houston Texarkanas don't have a get right palate cleanser game and they mess this up, they got more issues than a little bit.
I don't know what division is worse, the NFC South or AFC South.
This year, both Southern divisions of the AFC and NFC have basically been the redheaded stepchildren to the NFC East, AFC East, NFC North, and basically, it doesn't matter if you're in the NFC South or the AFC South, your divisions are the redheaded stepchilds compared to the North, the East and the West.
Tampa Bay is real?
Here's the thing.
Tampa's going to win that division.
Tampa's going to win that division by default.
Tampa Bay is really good.
Tampa's really good, and they got that. I wouldn't be shocked if it's Tampa Bay Philadelphia for the NFC Championship game. And matter of fact, this might be an NFC Championship preview this coming up weekend. Sunday afternoon, Bucks and Eagles again, which should be very entertaining.
Let's open the floor to our participants. You're listening to Sports Roundtable. We would like the participants to get in on these discussions. We can talk about anything we want. We've discussed baseball and football, but everything is on the table, of course. So, Trish, do we have anybody with their hands raised at this time? Trish?
Trish is muted.
Trish, are you there? Are you muted or what?
Well, we wait.
I am. I'm sorry.
She is right there.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can.
Can you
do
hear me?
Do we have any? Yes.
Yep.
Hello? Okay,
do
good.
Do we have any hands raised at
yes,
this time?
Yes, we actually have three at the moment.
All
first
right.
First is Gene Johnson.
Gene Johnson from Ohio. How are you?
Wait. Hold on one second here. There we go. First and foremost, Red Sox, really interesting tight race now in,
yes, they
in
are.
The playoffs for the race to the, you know, World Series. We play Blue Jays, which I think we're going to lose all three. And then when we go to the playoffs, we won't make it all the way. That's my
prediction.
Well,
we've got Detroit this weekend, and that's going to be interesting because Detroit's in free fall right now.
Detroit.
Right, I know, but I'm just saying that even if we did the playoffs, we won't make it to the Blue Jays.
Well, here's the thing.
If we do, we're going to lose.
The best thing you guys have right now is right now you're sitting in the second wild card.
Yeah, which a game means, ahead of Houston and Detroit and Cleveland.
Well, yeah, right. And here's the thing. Whoever doesn't win this AL Central between Detroit and Cleveland, and if Houston doesn't, you know, if they find a way, whoever doesn't win the AL Central is going to miss the playoffs entirely. Because I don't know, you know.
But what I'm saying is even if we have to play the Astros or the Mariners.
You just don't see Boston having enough to get out of there?
I say we could, if we make it there, we're not going to beat the Blue Jays because that's who we're going to have to face, or the Mariners. Those two teams, right. I have a feeling we're.
Well, I'm thinking right now you're sitting as the number 5 seed right now. So you would probably get the Yankees again.
Yeah, which isn't a big deal. We've beaten them before. Well,
yeah, you've beaten them before, but in a best of three, and all three of them are in all three of them at Yankee Stadium. Yes.
I think it would be Yankee Stadium this time around.
If the season ended right now, the Yankees were only 2.5 behind Toronto.
Correct.
So.
I would say it's a pretty good toss up with the Yankees though. I really don't know because we have lost a couple of games.
Yeah. I mean that though, if that ends up being the wild card matchup for the wild card, boy, oh boy. The viewership that will be watching that set.
It's going to be fun. Secondly, now, I was listening to the 49ers game.
I didn't even get a chance to go to that.
They won by a field goal, but I really honestly think that team is falling apart. They just lost. I think they just lost Boza.
But that just came down this afternoon, in fact. It's his ACL and his left knee.
Yeah, he's not coming back.
He's done for the year.
They managed against Arizona. And then, of course, Arizona's looking pretty tragic now, too, to be honest.
Well, Arizona basically gave them that game after they took the lead. They just basically gave it back.
Well, yeah, there was an injury on that team, too. What was his
name? Yeah, James Conner.
Yeah, Conner.
He's hurt with an ankle now, too. I don't know how long he's out for. I think it's multiple weeks, I think, for him.
And the Arizona fans are putting out a missing persons report on Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh,
remember all the hype?
Oh yeah.
When he got drafted, he's been a
By the way, look at his stat line yesterday. 4 catches for 32 yards. You don't expect that out of a number 4 overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
4 catches for 32 yards. I can promise you, if he were on, the Eagles or the Chiefs or the Ravens or the Bills, if he's doing that on any of those teams, they're having a field day. But since he's in a media market as in Phoenix, where they hardly care about their football team, he's not getting raked over the coals.
What's happening? What's happening in Philadelphia with wide receivers? They just added a wide receiver to their roster today.
I don't know if there's an injury or if they're looking for more speed on the outside. That's it. Because look, when you're the Eagles or teams like that, and you have to fix something, you can go out and go get it. It's not like we're stuck with, you know, this waiver claim. We're stuck with what we have. No. If you're the Eagles and you know what you have to go get, you're just going to go get it.
Well, before the season started, they picked up John Metchie, who's been a non-entity there as he was in Houston.
Yep, a non-factor. Cause he was a, if I'm not mistaken, he was the one that had, Hodgkin's lymphoma, right?
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Right. And
he's got talent.
Yeah. He's
Houston
got talent.
Let him go. Houston let him go because they thought they were getting, I don't know if he was in that, Gardner Johnson trade or not.
I think he was.
But they were trying to get some value from him.
Yeah. They were trying to get some capital. Mm-hmm.
Well, I will say this. The next game that the Patriots, it's the Falcons. So I really, really honestly would like to see a win out of that, especially considering that we beat Miami the other week.
Well, here, Gene, I'm just going to say this as nicely as I can. Mm-hmm. The Patriots have been in every football game. They are played better, even though they are losing under Vrabel than I thought. They would be playing in the first month of the year. They have played better. Now, the only thing, if they can just stop turning the ball over and being loosey-goosey.
Right, because I'm just thinking right now, the two teams that are going to be hard to beat for them right now in the AFC
are the Bills.
The Bills. And I was going to say the Colts.
The Ravens.
And Bills, Colts, here's the thing. Bills, Colts, Ravens. And the Chiefs are going to have a chance to really put themselves back in the mix too with the Chargers.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, they have the same score we do.
Sure do.
That makes me feel good. So, yeah. I'm just hoping that it's a pretty dead heat and that way we can honestly just prove point that, you know, we didn't need Tom Brady. So I'm hoping this year, but
the thing is, are we almost at that point? I know we're in year two of Drake May, but how much more of a leash are they going to give him? That's my question. Cause usually when you get to year three, you have an idea what your quarterback is. And I'm wondering if we're almost getting to that point of how much longer can we keep allowing Drake May to do this and cost us games along with the Ramondre Stevenson.
I don't think it's Drake May. I really don't think it's Drake May.
I don't either, but again.
It's the running backs right now.
Well, Bob, guys, the thing is, I know we don't think it's Drake May, which we all agree he's still developing, but at what point does the ire go from, okay.
Well, it's only first the running year with back. Us, isn't it?
I think this is his second year.
This is his first year, because I thought we just signed him this year.
Oh, Drake May? No, he was
in. No. This is Drake's second year.
He was drafted. Started last year, but May started from about game five through the rest of last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
He will be their starting quarterback for the next 10 years.
I think so too.
I hope you're
right.
I really don't see
that New England's going to give him a short leash or anything like that. At least give him three, you know.
Next year will be his third.
Yeah, but I just don't think it's going to be an issue this year.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but I'm wondering.
No, there are enough other problems, right, Gene? There are enough other problems.
There are a number of running backs, offensive line.
I don't even think they've had a consistent starting five in the first month of the year.
I don't think we've ever had five turnarounds at all in any game that we've had.
I don't think so either.
In the NFL. That I can ever remember. So
I heard something yesterday, this morning on PFT Live when Mike was interviewing the guys at the end of the game with the Steelers and the Patriots. I think it was, who was it? It was one of their defensive linemen that said they basically said we knew when Ramondre Stevenson was in the game. They knew. Because they started,
especially in the fourth quarter, they started using other wide receivers instead of using Ramondre because I think they knew. So
I wonder how much longer until he gets traded.
I don't know if he's going to get traded or right now he is the Achilles heel because all the teams know that we hand him off and we need. Drake needs to find other wide receivers and, you know, other players to, you know,
get Booty's that ball good. To them. They got Diggs and Booty. They're very good. Yeah, Pop Douglas is so-so.
Yeah. I thought I was going to see more out of him. I mean, Pop Douglas needs to step it up.
Yeah, he does. Anyway, thanks, guys.
Yep. All right, Gene. Good to hear from you. Okay, Trish, who do we have next on the agenda?
Next we have Diane.
All right, Diane.
Our Buffalo Bills resident.
How are you?
Hi, Diane.
Hello, Diane. You are up at the plate, as they say.
Still muted, Diane. All right.
We'll have to go to the next one.
We'll have to go to the next
one. Diane,
we'll
come back to you.
We'll come back to Diane. Is Kevin Berker?
Kevin, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, sitting here in Denver. I watched both of the Rams and Chargers games. The papers in L.A. seem to think the Rams were the team to go to the Super Bowl, but the Chargers look better to me. Also, Mitch would appreciate this. Watching the second half of the Rams game, I thought they imported the USC secondary to
oh dear Jesus. Oh,
because it sure looked the same as the night before.
Here's the thing though. They were up 26-7.
I know that.
How? I'm like that's the only question I got.
Well, the first problem was that the Rams kicked 4 field goals.
Yes. Agreed. And all of them were low.
Agreed.
That was the first problem. They could have had Philly down, you know, by 25 points at the half if they.
Yep. They didn't do it.
You know, Stafford was not sharp in that game. He was throwing the ball all over the lot. And you know, the Eagles have a decent defense, but it's not as good as it's going to be.
It's so not that horrible. Was a big
problem. Didn't Jalen Carter hurt? Did he play? Because I thought
I don't remember his name.
Did he even get on the stat sheet last week? Because I think some teams have figured out a way to neutralize him.
I think he's gotten hurt though. So
remember the season opening game, he got ejected and then he played the Kansas City game last week.
That was totally different, but I think he actually got hurt.
Did he get hurt last? He may have. I don't know. I didn't hear anything on him on the injury report yet.
But speaking of being hurt is, have you heard anything about Stafford's back?
To answer nothing your question,
no,
nothing,
his
but
it's okay.
The only thing with Stafford though, he got beat up yesterday.
He was getting up slow toward the end.
Yeah, he was.
He was not jumping right up. He was getting up slow.
I'm wondering if you know taking that kind of pounding would re-injure that back.
Well, here's another thing though, guys. I don't think if Matthew Stafford is really hurt, he isn't going to say a darn thing about it. He's like John Wayne. He's not gonna say anything about it because he don't want to come out of the game.
But you can tell.
Oh yeah.
Mitch was talking about his throws.
Mm-hmm.
Throws are off target.
Yep.
You know that could be.
If your back's bothering you, your accuracy is gonna suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to do everything with just your arm.
You can do everything.
By the way, I've got a comment for Kevin. You saw what happened to Illinois Saturday to Indiana.
My God. It was 63-10.
Now, unfortunately, USC at 9 o'clock in the morning, my time, goes into Champaign, Urbana. That may not be pretty.
Oh, that, let me put it this way. They barely got by Michigan State at the Coliseum Saturday night into Sunday morning.
Yeah, Saturday morning may not be a pretty,
Saturday morning could be one of the
10 o'clock now, my time. At least I have a slight advantage there.
Well, it's 11 central time. So that game should be over by about 2:30. Look, that game may be over before halftime if Illinois has their way about it.
I caught that score and I said, we're not going to have fun in Illinois
is not going to be happy campers.
Well, here's the thing. Both teams can score points.
I'll give you that. SC, Riley put together an offense that can score.
But the problem is, their defense.
Well, that's what it's always been.
Yep.
It's almost like, because it was the third quarter of the USC game where the defense went to sleep. It's, you know, and Pete Arbogast, who I think is fantastic, talks Pete about Arbogast. Losing focus.
Yep.
It's been a very long time since any of us here were 19, 20, 21 years old.
Yep.
But, you know, if I've got a pro career on my horizon, or I think I've got a pro career on my horizon, how do I lose focus?
Well, here's the thing. They've not had a offense, defense, probably got to go back to Pete Carroll days when they were winning national championships. That's how far back you have to go with USC.
Okay, and we have 2 hands and 7 minutes, guys.
Okay, right. I'll tap out, guys.
Thanks, Kev. See you
next week. Thank you for your attention, Kevin. All right.
Let's go back to Diane, and then we have Matthew after her. Diane?
Okay, Diane.
Okay, are you hearing me?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm hearing you now. Okay. Oh, my goodness. My bills are driving me crazy.
Uh-oh. Are you talking about that, Thursday night game against the Fishies that shouldn't have finished up a 10-point finish the way it did?
Yes. That's partly what I'm talking about. Yes. But I'm just, they have so many games coming up that they should win. And I'm so worried about their defense. Now they got a couple guys on suspension that are going to be coming back. I think in week 7.
Well, Diane, here's your saving grace for the Bills, okay? Your offense is going to be able to carry this Bills team until the defense gets ready. They're going to get fat and happy on that schedule that they got coming up. So, but when we get to maybe, oh, I don't know, week 8, 9, 10, 11, then we'll see. But I think like for the next few weeks, the Bills are going to be eating, they're going to be beating up on the Sisters of the Poor and going to the Hostess Bakery for the next few weeks.
Yeah.
So now, I don't think your Bills have anything to worry about yet.
Well, they got a really tough game coming up Sunday.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
They're
playing the Saints, right?
Oh, God. Mike, really? The Saints ain't won a game yet, and their quarterback, Spencer Rattler's god awful.
That should be an automatic.
But now I know that, for the Bills. Now I know who to take in my survivor pool.
Mike, I am so Rev, I am so disappointed in you.
And as long as you have 2 games against the Jets on your schedule,
your
Bills are going to be okay.
Do what I do.
The Dolphins also,
and you got two against the Pats, so you may win your AFC East again.
They might go be 6-0 against the division this year. The way it's
they
looking.
Might.
Here's what you do about the Bills: you send your electric bill to the phone company, send your food bill to the electric company,
exactly.
Let them mess with your bills.
Oh, that was funny.
Don't worry about Buffalo. They'll be just fine. I just wish Josh Allen would remember Keon Coleman is on his, is one of his receivers.
You know what the darndest thing is? Since they drafted him, has he been more the invisible man on that team than I can ever remember? I mean, my God.
And they said that this would be his year, Keon Coleman.
He's been literally like that 98 Degrees song, The Invisible Man. He's literally like a non-factor at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And thanks for the encouragement.
No problem.
All right. You have no worries about the Bills at all.
Exactly. Just make sure you get your
rank. Matthew.
Hello, Matthew. Welcome. How are you?
Hey, you guys. I'm doing good. How are you?
What can we do for you?
What's up?
I wanted to see if you guys caught my Red Raiders this weekend. It was an early game, but we stood up and put the mighty down. Or at least they thought they were mighty.
With a backup
quarterback. Let me put it this way. T- Texas Tech, if they have to play, if they play TCU, that game could be very intriguing.
Yeah. We don't get 12. TCU this, we don't get them this year. We don't get Baylor. We don't get Iowa State. We'll get one of those guys in the Big 12 championship as well.
And I'm hoping it's TCU, because if that happens, offensive points are plenty.
Yeah.
That defense we got is for real though, guys. That defense is for real.
Kyle Whittingham found that out real quick.
Was it Utah that beat Texas, or that Texas Tech beat Utah?
Yep, it was in Lubbock.
It was in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And that was an early the weirdest thing was that was an early morning 11 a.m. kickoff.
Yeah, it was 10 o'clock. It was 10 o'clock there, and we shut down those Heisman hopes.
I thought that kickoff was good. I thought that because usually when they had those games like that, it'll be like 10 o'clock at night. It'll be like Big 12 after dark.
Yeah. Yeah,
so. I'm surprised I had it that early on the TV side. But Texas Tech, it's going to be very interesting to see moving forward how they continue to progress, kind of like what Indiana is doing in the Big Ten. Well, actually the way Indiana is looking so far too for the CFP, because I think Texas Tech and Indiana are going to, you know, probably have a say in their conference races on who gets into the CFP if they can continue on the trajectories that they are both on. But we will see, especially with Texas Tech.
Anything else, Matt? We have about one more minute, and that'll be all.
No, y'all are good. Thanks for having me, sir. Thanks. You have a good day.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I'm trying to think. Did their quarterback get knocked out? Their starter, or have we heard if he is even going to start this week?
Yeah, he got a concussion. He got.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. He's in concussion protocol. All right, you're right.
But Will is the real deal.
I forgot the name of the kid who came in.
Will Hammonds.
Will Hammonds. Yeah. Okay. Will Hammonds. Okay. Thank you for that.
No, the guy who got some notice Saturday was that Indiana. I think it was the Indiana quarterback.
Who is that? Gomez? Yeah, something Gomez, I think.
A Latino last name, but nobody had ever heard of him before Saturday. Nope.
Well,
unless you were from Indy.
Well, let me put it this way. He's going to get some notice, especially coming up this week with Penn State. And then they got Oregon coming up too. So we're going to find out about Indiana over the next couple of weeks real quick.
Yeah. It looks like we are out of time for this edition of Sports Roundtable. I want to thank Michael and Luther and Don and Mitch for being with us today. Peter, we miss you and we hope you're back next week. Trish, Brad, and all the callers, thank you so much for your assistance today. Go safe with God's abundant blessings. We'll know the playoff picture by this time next Monday. It ought to be fascinating in MLB. Take care.